Hello and welcome to this week's Health Report with me, Norman Swan, on Gadigal Land.
And me, Tegan Taylor, on Jagera and Turrbal Land. Today, we're talking about something I thought I knew about, Norman, that cancer treatment can be toxic to your fertility. I knew this was a thing, but until we started discussing this story, I actually didn't realise how little information we had about it, particularly when it comes to new generation treatments, because it's just something that hasn't been considered in clinical trials.
What we found was that only 9% of these clinical trials conducted globally over a period of about a decade assessed how the anti-cancer agent, whether or not it impacted on the ovaries.
So find out more about that later on in the show. Also, I'll be talking about a promising new therapy for brain cancer. There's a lot of interest in brain cancer in Australia with Richard Scollier, the melanoma pathologist who's undergoing his own experiment into immunotherapy. This is a different kind of immunotherapy in brain cancer, which in a very small study is showing some promise. Plus, some counterintuitive research into people who have suicidal thoughts and actually attempt suicide. What's underlying it is not always what you think.
Yeah, I'm really keen for that. But first, let's look at some health news from around the traps this week. And I want to talk about ADHD. We talked last year with our colleague Angela Voipierre about the backlog of people who suspect that they have ADHD and that they were struggling to access diagnosis and treatment. We've been looking at quite a lot of research that's come out recently about what a difference a diagnosis can make for your life, including your risk of dying.
The first of these studies is a really fascinating study of 148,000 people, aged 6 to 64, in Sweden. But they were particularly looking at the influence of medication, starting medication, if you've got a diagnosis of ADHD, and your chances of dying of any cause. And what they found was that, in fact, all-cause mortality went down after starting medication.
What kind of causes are we talking about?
Well, they divided it into natural and unnatural causes of death. Natural being things like heart attacks, stroke, cancer and so on. And unnatural causes being injuries, unintentional injuries, suicide and so on. And what they found was that there were no changes in natural causes, which is not a great surprise because it was fairly short term. They were looking really at the first 2 years after treatment. But it was unintentional injuries in particular, it was unnatural causes that dropped. And that's not a great surprise, is that if treatment helps you with impulse control, you're not going to actually do stuff without thinking about it, which is part of the problem with ADHD, particularly in males, then the treatment could be protective.
So kind of less risky behaviour going on. And it's so interesting because, especially when we're talking about adults seeking diagnoses for ADHD, there's perhaps an implication that if you've kind of got this far, then what's the point? And a study like this shows that it really is important to protect people's lives.
Yes. Now, there's another study, also from Sweden, same sort of database, comparing people who've got ADHD with who've been on treatment versus not treatment, and looking at the risk of heart disease, because some of these medications that you're on for ADHD increase your heart rate, increase your blood pressure. So does it increase the rate of heart disease, cardiovascular disease? And what they showed was that there is a cumulative risk, which particularly aggregates in the first 3 years of treatment. But essentially, after about 5 years, your risk of cardiovascular disease goes up by about 23%. On these medications. It stabilizes, doesn't seem to go up an awful lot after 5 years. So they followed them up to 14 years after starting treatment, and the risk of cardiovascular disease increased. It wasn't so much, interestingly, it wasn't so much heart attacks and heart failure or abnormal heart rhythms. It was more high blood pressure and arterial disease. And it was for particularly amphetamines and for methylphenidate, which is also called Ritalin. Those are the stimulants that you use for ADHD. So risk increase, not huge, but it's there and probably means that you need to monitor it quite carefully if you're an adult, particularly on these medications long term. Not a reason for stopping them, but there. And then finally, there's a study on dementia, looking at the risk of dementia, a follow-up of older people for about 17 years. What they found was that there was an increased risk of dementia in people with ADHD over a 17-year follow-up. And these were older people to start with.
These sorts of correlations always make me ask, which direction is it going in? Is it the ADHD causing the dementia, or is it dementia causing the ADHD, or are they say, innocent bystanders to each other.
They looked for this reverse causality and they found a little bit of evidence of reverse causality. In other words, that there may have been some dementia there to start with and that produced symptoms that people assumed to be ADHD-like. But they say that was a pretty weak effect. But the increased risk was nearly threefold greater in the people with ADHD. But interestingly, if they were treated for the ADHD, they did not have an increased risk of dementia. So there's something odd going on there. So the theory is that it could be something neurodevelopmentally with the ADHD that increases your susceptibility to dementia. Or it could be that if you've had, and the study wasn't really designed to pick this up, if you've had ADHD all your life and it's been poorly treated, you may not do as well at school. And low academic achievement and not going on in education is actually a risk factor for dementia later in life. So it may not be the ADHD, it may be the effects of the ADHD on your education.
There are so many moving parts when we're talking about something like dementia. What I'm really interested in knowing is sort of how do we tie these three together? In the first study you mentioned, if people were medicated, they were much less likely to die, especially by accidents, than if they weren't medicated. In the second study you mentioned, if people were medicated, their risk of cardiovascular disease was higher, and then there's sort of this dementia thing in here as well. What does this do to our understanding of how best to protect people?
Well, I think none of them are a deal breaker. The first one is, if you like, really good news in terms of early introduction of medication, that you're going to see a net benefit because it was all-cause mortality. The cardiovascular disease was an increase in particularly blood pressure and arterial disease, not necessarily in heart attacks. Therefore, did it increase cardiovascular deaths? That's not entirely clear. The dementia risk is that treatment seemed to abolish the dementia risk. So getting diagnosed with ADHD, getting treated, net benefit.
Mm. Well, if you want to hear more about ADHD, scroll back through the feed and listen to the episode that we did with Ange Lavoie-Pierre about just how hard it is to get a diagnosis. Another bit of news in the health space this week, Norman, is that the federal health minister on Thursday introduced legislation to Parliament, essentially banning vaping. It's something that we'd talked about last year when it looked like it was on the table. The Therapeutic Goods Administration was looking at what a vaping ban could look like. It's now been introduced. What is going to happen next?
Well, it's got to go through the parliamentary process, but what this will do is essentially ban the importation, manufacture, supply and commercial possession of single-use non-therapeutic vapes while allowing prescription of nicotine-containing e-cigarettes for the cessation of smoking. So in other words, you're still allowed to use them therapeutically, but it's got to be through a prescription. But the wide availability of vapes, particularly as it has been to children and young people, creating a generation of nicotine addicts, possibly moving on to cigarettes from vaping, hopefully will be reduced without creating too much of a black market.
Mm.
But there was also other legislation on Thursday as well, which was very important in a public health sense.
Is this about lung cancer?
Yes, this is the National Lung Cancer Screening Program, which starts next year. And this was legislation to allow that to be part of what's called the National Cancer Screening Register. But this is really in an attempt to reduce the death rate from lung cancer, which is a terrible cancer diagnosed too late, beyond when you can actually treat it surgically. And it's a low-dose CAT scan every couple of years. If it pans out and is similar to findings overseas, it could reduce death rates by 20%.
Wow, that's really big.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.